Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come and join us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv and share our podcast that God has blessed richly. It's been really an amazing adventure with Mr. Wayne Wood and Ms. Barbara Moore that's on with us. Hi, Mr. Wayne. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Hey, both of you.
It's always great to have you both on, and I'm excited about today. We're hoping Luca will be able to join us, Luca Voci of Tea Party Italia. He is also the spokesperson now for the World Tea Party, so I'm hoping he's going to be on. I tried to post something on Facebook, and I used Google Translate to post something, and I'm afraid I didn't do such a good job, but I'm hoping he's still going to be able to join us. Kind of embarrassing to see. I think it must have been really a bad translation. But anyway, and I was thinking afterwards, well, what's the point of me trying to do that when it's probably not going to audio translate, you know, our show anyway. So anyway, I tried. But we're so excited about the great guests that we've got. But we always like to, first of all, you know, just honor the great guest that's always there with us. You know, our Lord. And I think it's see Lucas. So I'm going to go ahead and say hi before we start with a prayer. Hi, Lucas.
Yeah,
is that
hi,
you?
Hello. Yep,
God bless
me.
You.
Bless you.
I was just talking about you, Lucas. I'm so sorry. Was that translation that bad today when I posted it on Facebook?
It's just auto translation sometimes that it can get the meaning, but, you know, it's always better. Yeah, I'm a translator, so sometimes I just have to do it. Sorry. No.
Well, that's all right. Well, I got to thinking afterwards, what's the point of me doing that when we don't have, unfortunately, an audio translation? So, you know, that would be very helpful maybe someday if we ever get big, right, Ms. Barbara? Mr. Wayne? We can get something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Luke.
Hope not. Let's hope not. I work as a translator and a journalist. So if they invent the does that, I'm pretty much out of work.
Oh, okay then. Okay, well, we won't. Mr. Wayne, have you met Luca before, Luca Bocci, Tea Party Italia?
I don't believe he's been on a day when I'm transmitting. Nice to meet you, sir.
Yeah, nice to meet you too, sir.
I've heard
well,
from
you.
Wayne, exciting. Yes.
You're going to really love Luca. He loves freedom and the principles of freedom, and he loves this country. And I refer to him as the Italian Patrick Henry, if that gives you some idea there.
Praise the Lord.
And then, Luca, you're going to love Wayne as well. He has served our country for many, many years, both in our military and teaching about our great nation in school, teaching young people. And he loves our history, too.
My hat's off to you, sir, yeah.
Well, thank you, sir. I was also one of the organizers of our Tea Party here in our part of Alabama, and I was excited to hear about an Italian Tea Party. I said, that is just one of the neatest things I've ever heard. It about blew my socks off as much as finding out there was a Tea Party in England. When you think about the original Tea Party was protesting English tax policies.
They don't call themselves the Tea Party for no reason. They call themselves something different. They are the Taxpayers Alliance. They are the Freedom Association. When I got to them and say, okay, can you just join in for this great worldwide Tea Party? I just look in their faces and they were thinking, I don't know. Well, maybe. You know, still lots of bad memories. So I can understand.
Yeah.
250 years. Not enough, apparently.
Freedom knows no borders, and to cry for freedom. There's one thing President George W. Bush said, that the yearning for freedom lies in every person's heart, no matter where they live on this globe. And he was right there. When you talk about freedom and the desire for with that economic independence, because you cannot be free in any way unless you're economically free. And it's all tied together, and it's just exciting to know that this idea is spreading. It is really exciting.
Let me go ahead and get in here and let us start and prayer. And I see right now we're going to, Luca, I hope you can last another half an hour longer, because I see Mr. Wayne has got a lot of exciting things to say. And and Ms. Barbara, I hope you can.
Nothing planned for the evening. Nothing planned for the evening. The best time of the week is for me.
Well, we're excited. And, me and Miss Barbara have this inside thing that we've been saying, Mr. Wayne, which is, and I was just thinking about, you know, the Italians, the discoverers, they're still pioneering. They're still, giving us something new. And Luca did that. Luca did that to Judge Roy Moore. And, Miss Barbara, you were the first one to really bring it about to my mind, which is, it's like it hit a chord in Judge Roy Moore. And me and Ms. Barbara believe that Luca inspired Judge Moore to really, I think, to affirm the fact that he needed to run again and become our Chief Justice, our Chief Defender of the Constitution, not just for Alabama, Luca, but for the whole United States of America, because of the knowledge that this man has.
Diana?
Yes, go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Not only that, when we were speaking with both Judge Moore and Luca that day, we heard that excitement in Judge Moore's voice just rise when Luca was speaking to him about the United States Constitution and how it stands between us and globalism, between the world and globalism, the United States Constitution, and how Judge Moore was deeply affected by that, and we could even hear it in his voice. But since that time, as he has been speaking to the people of Alabama, he traveled over 5,000 miles in his campaign for Chief Justice, and he spoke about Luca everywhere he went. Remember, we heard that from Rich Hobson, his campaign manager, and the other night at the celebration victory in Montgomery, that he continued to hear him speak of Luca and and his inspiration as he talked to people all over the state of Alabama. So I think the people of Alabama are getting to know you, Luca.
Well, that's good. It's always great to be part of God's plan on earth, and in, you know, it comes in wondrous ways, and sometimes, and I'm glad to have been a small part in actually convincing the people of Alabama to do the right thing, because that's the important part, that right now the people of the great state of Alabama will have a great man like Judge Moore defending the U.S. Constitution. That is the most important part. My part in it was minor, but I'm pretty happy about it, yes.
Well, we're very happy too, Luca. Miss Barbara, I really get amazed at what God does with our little tiny dot of a show. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know, that one thing is enough. You know, I'm satisfied. You have done more than I could dream of. But Luca, he does a lot more than just that. But that in itself was so incredible. It's like, you know, God stepped in time and heard our prayers, and who better than to defend this nation and its constitution than the man who knows it like the back of his hand and has fought for it, you know, lost his job for it, sacrificed everything for it. No better than Judge Moore. So we are so grateful to the Italians, and especially Luca Bocci of Tea Party Italy, and, of course, he's going to give us some more information about World Tea Party. So I'm going to go ahead.
Yeah, you know, look at who. What I'm reminded of just hearing that is the story of Ananias in Acts, who was awakened one night and told to go pray for this fellow, and Ananias said, "Well, who, Lord?" And Lord said, "It was Saul of Tarsus. He's over there in Damascus on a street called Straight. I have plans for him. I want you to pray for him." And Ananias kind of freaked out because, Saul had been killing Christians and persecuting Christians, and the Lord said, "You go anyway. I have plans for him." And Ananias went over, lay hands for him and on him, and Saul got his sight back, led him to the Lord. And you think about where the world would be had Ananias not been obedient to the calling, and where Christianity would be had not, he'd been obedient to the Lord. And so, you know, these small things mean a lot in God's plan, in God's kingdom, and the seed you planted. For me, just, and I can only speak personally and not try to cast reflection on myself, but I know the excitement I feel to know that this movement, this idea of economic freedom, of getting the government off the people's back, of not relying on the government for everything, of basically bringing us back to the idea of the individual as a state existing for the people rather than the other way around, is spreading to Italy and Europe and even across the globe is exciting. And to know that our Constitution is that beacon that's shining that light, because, you know, we owe so much to Europe. You know, I used to tell my students in the school that if you want to see what America owes the world as far as culture, just drive down the main street. We have a thing called Ross Clark Circle. It's a main road that goes around the major city where all the businesses are, and you see all the restaurants from all over the world, and that's American culture. Turn on the radio in America and listen to our music, and it has all the, it has Asian influence, it has old European, it has African influence, country western comes from the Irish and the old Irish and the Celtic ballads, and you can go and you can just see that we are the melting pot, and we owe so much to Europe to be able to come over here, which was the original plan, was to come over here and to shine a light to the world. It's exciting to see that vision come to pass. And I think our founders would be well pleased that the light is still shining. Because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Europe. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the continents that gave us their people to start this nation. And we have such a debt of gratitude to our parent nations and continents. I hope you understand the spirit which you had said.
And so it's
a mutual giving. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
The fact that you inspired Judge Moore to pick up the mantle again after everything he's been through, and he's been through so much. That's God's work. And that's Ananias getting up in the middle of the night and going and laying hands on this guy and praying for him. You know, and that's what it takes. That's what it's going to take to keep this thing going until the Lord returns. And so,
hopefully.
Thank God for
hopefully.
Your ministry. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Wayne, thank you for that. And I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, sir, I'll just start us off in prayer.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of believers that you brought together through this show. We thank you for every listener who's tuned in. And we thank you, God, that you've used this show in such a mighty way. And as the Lord says, despise not small beginnings. And so, God, we're just thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of broadcasting. And we pray, God, that you continue to use us, Lord, in even a small way. Because, Lord, we know that small things can have great results. And we ask, Almighty God, that you take over this show today, that you make it a service unto you, a ministry unto you. And that, Lord, you anoint us today to give us the words to speak, the information to share to the audience, that they might be blessed and that they might be enriched by what we say, and even more important, they might get information and truth that they can take into this dark and dying world to shine the light of your gospel. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for Brother Luca here today and all the like-minded souls like him across the globe, that Father God are struggling even in this growing darkness, Lord, to shine the light of freedom, of liberty, of truth, and of hope in this world that is quickly losing hope. But we know the only hope is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only ways that can bring hope are the ways that he laid down and inspired men to write down in the Word of God that is reflected in documents like our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence. And Father God, that has inspired men to stand for freedom and liberty and the right of the individual created in the image of God. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Luca. We thank you, God, for his work, his ministry. We thank you, God, for the fruit that this ministry has shown. And we praise God that you will give it increase. In Jesus' name we pray and praise you. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Mr. Wayne. And Luca, please extend our grateful appreciation to David Mazzarelli and the rest that formed Tea Party Italy, because of, as you can tell, we are really just touched and moved by what's happening in our state with Judge Moore, and really not just our state. When we went to visit Judge Moore, thank God, Ms. Barbara wanted to go, and I got to go with her and see that man, Judge Moore. I mean, the countenance, so much been lifted. It was redemption, but also movers and shakers, Luca, like I think of Pastor Kerry Gordon that has moved Iowa, and we want you to come on with him. You know, that Judge Moore, you could tell, is also his hero. You could tell that without a shadow of doubt. We had a great time speaking with him, but we're just so grateful at the thread, and Judge Moore has been a thread, but because of your faithfulness, and, you know, God weaves our lives like a puzzle. It's just really so amazing when I look at my life and what God has done with my little life, and I'm hearing, Luca, what God has done with your life, you know, and the people that you're touching. Tea Party Italy is touching. It's not just touching Italy. It's touching all country and really the world, you know, as you are now a spokesperson for the world. It's so very important to get our hearings together. Well, you're doing a fantastic job. We just cannot thank y'all enough. But let me go ahead and turn it over to you and let you, you know, tell us what's going on in Italy. I'm looking at Greece. You know, they've just gotten some more money, but yet there's already, you know, austerity measures being protested and all that. And so if you don't mind, just give us a glimpse of is your concerns.
Well, what is going on right now is actually, well, the chickens have come home to roost for Europe, and it's about to happen. So most people, they were thinking, oh, no, it will never happen. This is nonsense, But then you see numbers are pretty tough mistress because you can't really fool them. Like President Lincoln used to say, you can't fool all the people all the time. And for the time being, it's the investors who are starting to wake up and realizing that the European socialism model is not working and it will never work, because the numbers, the demography, and everything is against it. And so right now, at the time being, we are seeing that some countries, one after the other, are about to fall. And they've fallen into economic slavery. Greece has already been there, because when they're saying, 130 billion euros sent to you Greece, but it's not like they did it out of, you know, generosity. They just, it's a debt. So the Greek people will have to pay them back. And for 30 years, they will have to cut spending, but they're not willing to do it. So it's just imposing more and more burden on the people, and the economic activity is plummeting. So Greece was hardly producing anything, and right now is pretty much bankrupt. But not only bankrupt, also the Greek families are bankrupt, and the big Greek companies are bankrupt. And this is about to happen in Portugal as well. Ireland was there before us. For 20 years, they will have to have massive tax increase in order to repay the debt. Italy has signed it a few weeks ago, and nobody's telling anything about it. And they say, everything is going fine. Everything is going fine. It's not. The economic activity index in Italy is plummeting. They say that the official numbers are talking about a recession of around 2.5% to 4% for this year. But actually, the real numbers are much worse than that. We're talking 10 to 15% recession. So the economy is not growing. It's shrinking 15%. And companies are about to shut down. They're closing the doors. They're shutting down everything. They say, we can't pay all these taxes. It's impossible. And so they are just moving away. They're just going to Switzerland. They're going to Slovenia. They're going to neighboring countries, and there is not going to be enough jobs for the people. But right now in Italy, all you can think about is let everyone pay their fair share of taxes. You know, taxes are becoming unbearable, but on the television, on the media, everywhere, everybody is talking about everybody has to pay taxes. It's pretty much like the IRS is the biggest national hero because we're supporting the country. And you're just thinking to yourself, well, if you're imposing taxes so high that businesses and enterprises close down, and you are worshipping the guys that with badges and guns go to their doors and say, you've got to pay, and the entrepreneur looks at them and say, if I pay these taxes, I will have to close down my factory, and I will have to fire people. And they say, we don't care. We got to have taxes, because otherwise the whole system will collapse. And nobody's saying anything, and it's surreal, really. You just look at things on the television, on the media, and you just think, this country has completely lost its mind. It's just they're worshipping the same people who are condemning them to slavery, to economic slavery, and they are not really aware of that. That's why we are redoubling our efforts in these weeks to just bring forward law proposals in every town, in every city, to cut spending. It's not going to save the country, but it's going to give a signal to say it is possible, if you want, to cut down spending and cut down taxes. So this is actually what we are trying to do right now. Just trying to make, you know, to talk to people and make them realize that whatever they're listening on the radio, on the television, on the media, it's completely wrong, and it's really, really difficult, because most people, they've bought so much into this amount of lies. I mean, yeah, the government is going to take care of everyone. That they are like, I don't know, addicts. They are there. They want more. They want more. I want my free pension. I want my free health care. And you just talk to them and you say, there is no such thing as a free lunch. Everybody's got to work.
Yeah.
We want more government stimulus. Stimulus. Where do you think the government is taking the money? It's taking money from somewhere else. So you want the government to give you money. But you don't really care if it's taken from someone that is more productive. And it's, so you're going to destroy the economy this way. And nobody's saying a thing. And pretty much most people think that Germany or France or the other countries are much better off. Well, it's not exactly true. I live in the United Kingdom, and in the United Kingdom, we've seen a massive tax increase in the last few years, but people are not seeing them because it's in a form of inflation. They're printing down so much money, and obviously the pounds, the British pounds that we have in our wallets, are worth less and less and less. People are starting to notice that, but they don't really feel like it's a tax because they think, yeah, it's good, but it's the same thing, and it's the most unjust and unfair of taxes because it affects everyone. So this is ridiculous.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking at this what you're saying, it says, if you look at the figure, this bailout has reduced our actual debt by about $105 billion. We have taken an additional U.S. $130 billion in new loans. This is regarding Greece. But these austerity measures that people are going to schedule more protests, what are some of those austerity measures in Greece, or for that matter in other countries, I guess, that
right now they're talking about, austerity measures. They're talking about pretty much in Greece, it's a very small reduction of the number of public employees, but extremely small. And they're going to talk about raising the retirement age. They're going to talk about some other minor stuff, but most of it, it's tax increase. In Italy, it's been exactly the same. They're saying, okay, we have a two-pronged attack on this debt issue. The first part will be raising taxes. The second part will be cutting spending. And we kind of said, okay, fine. But the first part, the new taxes, will come immediately. The reduction of taxes, they will come in the future and so on. The reduction of spending never came. Public spending in Italy, like everywhere else, is running wild. It's growing and growing and growing. And public debt in Italy has reached a new record right now because the economy is slowing down. The government is not getting enough taxes. And you see that President Reagan was right, the Laffer curve, so that the more you increase taxes, the less money the government gets. Yeah, it's been proven again now. These are the data from February, and they said that the Italian tax revenue has diminished. Even if they raise taxes, and they raise VAT, they are going to raise VAT again in a few months, and they raise property tax. They put new taxes. They are going after each and every person, telling them, you have to pay everything. And still, they are not able to get enough money because they raise taxes too much, and businesses are shutting down. So it is complete nonsense when they're saying in the media, yeah, the situation is in Europe is fine, because if there will be an economic upturn, everything will be fine. That is complete nonsense because the productive structure of the country has been so damaged that it will never recover because the know-how, the people, the knowledge will disappear. They will go somewhere else, and they will not come back. Because once they realize that, it's just like there was someone I knew, and he told me that the Italian government, when he has to get taxes, they want them now. Sometimes they want them before they're owed. So you're paying taxes for the next year, and you're just thinking, but that is nonsense. Next year I will pay my taxes. No, you have to pay 90% of the taxes from next year. Now, because we need the money.
Wow.
And you're just thinking, okay, this is nonsense. But people are getting, they're used to that because it's been this way for 10 years. And it's nonsense. From an accounting point of view, it's complete nonsense. But Most people are willing to close one eye or two eyes because, you know, otherwise they will have to realize that the system is gone and they will have to just accept sacrifices. But this is the kind of problem. The problem is that when the government has to pay services to private businesses that it has bought, he's not exactly willing to pay. So he's just telling them, oh, yeah, we'll pay you in 6 months' time. And then when the date is due, they will say, oh, yeah, another 3 months. So you have companies, they have to go to the bank. They have to go to the bank and tell them, I need more money to buy, you know, raw materials and to pay my employees. But I still have to get hundreds of thousands of euros from the government. The government is not paying. And therefore, they shut down. Because the government is not paying, but when they have to get taxes, they go immediately. And there was a guy I know, is a small business owner, and he was telling me, this is unfair because they changed the rules. And I was thinking to myself, and I was telling him, well, you made the deal with the devil. Why should you be surprised when the devil will not respect his word? This is the point. Go ahead.
I'm going to give Ms. Barbara ask a question, Mr. Wayne, too, but I just want to, you just remind me about our health care, and I'm wondering, Luca, when they don't have any more money, I mean, what are they doing about providing all these health care benefits? Surely there's a lot of cutbacks, or people are not getting the aid that they were?
No. Actually, this in Greece, actually, we have seen that, because some kind of high-priced medicine, they are not provided by the national health system anymore. So people want this kind of life-saving medicines, but they go to the hospital, and the hospital said, well, sorry, we don't have any more of this, and they have to go to private institutions and pay even more. In Italy right now, it's not really happening because the national health system in Italy is pretty much the most corrupt thing you can imagine. Even you try to imagine something that is so corrupt, well, in Italy, it's even worse. It's much worse. So you can see that every new government will increase spending on the national health system, but the services provided, they are not exactly improving because it goes to waste. It goes to crony capitalists. It goes to special interest. And so you have machines, brand new, they're bought at an inflated price, and they're sitting there somewhere. And then every time the politicians go on television and they always ask for more money for the national health system, and you kind of think, well, okay, let's go down. And I really love numbers because numbers, you can't really fool with them. Statistics, okay, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. It's always true. But when you get to the real numbers don't lie. So when you think that, so if you get sick in Italy, you cost them for some kind of disease, you cost the government something like 10,000. You go to Germany for the same disease and you cost the government 5,000. You go to the UK and it costs the government 3,000. And you're just thinking, there is something wrong here. Because in Germany, in the UK and somewhere else, the health services provided are of a better quality than the one that we get in Italy. So where is the rest going? And you know that. You know where it's going. It's going in the pockets of someone, who is a friend or is a friend of a friend, and then he's going to waste the money. Because the whole point of the national health system, like Obamacare, is not about providing service to the poor. That is nonsense. They don't care about the poor. They only care about money. They want money to be in one place where it's that easy to get. They want all the money to go to Washington, because then people in the Beltway, the lobbyists, the friends, the special interests, they go there and they say, why should I bother selling services to the public? It's so much complicated. You have to have customer service. You have to have people that are going to be annoyed. I know, I'll just have a government-run system. I'll go to them. I'll pay some bribes to someone, and I will get all the money. Easy, right? That's not capitalism. This is the thing that is worrying me a lot. It's not capitalism. This is looting. They are looting the people's money through taxation, just like that. So it's a band of thieves. And unfortunately, they're in control.
Well, that just sounds like what's already we're seeing over here. Ms. Barb, go ahead. I know you've got a question or a comment.
Right. Well, you know, what I was thinking about, the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all sorts of evil. And we see that in Washington. It, you know, it brings corruption, the love of money and power, ambition. But, you know, I was thinking with all that that's going on in Italy and everywhere, it's not as if there isn't a model that can be used to build upon. It's not as if that we don't understand how prosperity can come to be when we have respect for private property. And, you know, the founding fathers, they outlined it so well in the preamble, listing six purposes of government in the preamble to the United States Constitution. And there it is, you know, and there's the model. And from that, the American people's genius was unleashed, and we went on to, with less than 8% of the world's population, created over 90% of the world's wealth. We can create wealth, and that's happened here in this country. It can happen anywhere when private property is respected and protected by law, and our country has gotten away from that. Countries all over the world have gotten away from it, and we've got to return to that, or there is no other model that will produce freedom and opportunity and prosperity than the model of respecting private property as God teaches us to do in His Word.
I know, but the problem is that the battle of ideas we are engaged in, we are against people that have been spreading lies and nonsense for the past 90 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they have brainwashed entire populations. When you talk to, let's say you talk with the typical Italian guy, I'm not very typical at all, unfortunately, because otherwise, you know, Italy wouldn't be in this situation, because we would have paid our debts, we would have, you know, free market, free, you know, liberty, opportunity for all. It would be a completely different country. Unfortunately, I'm in a very small minority. Because if you talk to the regular guy, the guy from the street, he will say, private property, yeah, it's bad, because, you know, we need to take away from the rich and give it to the poor. And and you go to some people that are in the Catholic Church, and they say things like that. And, you know, people that are not really well aware of economic theory, or they haven't studied it. It's not like everyone has to study, but these words are convincing because they look like an easy way out. They think, yeah, I will get money from the rich. I don't really want to work. I want to have everything safe. And, you know, unfortunately, that is it. If you're willing to trade away your freedom for safety, you deserve none and you will have none. And this is the words of the founding fathers. Unfortunately, in Italy, in Europe, nobody has read the American Constitution. They don't teach it at school. They don't teach the real reason behind the American Revolution. The American Revolution is painted like, you know, some sideshow to the French Revolution. Yeah, we like that one. The French Revolution is the really one that we like because it created socialism. There were lots of people killed, and they were killing the nobleman, they were killing the king. Yeah, we like that. American Constitution, what the hell? We don't really like that. It was regular people fighting against the government, which we kind of liked, and they threw away the joke, and they decided, yes, we will be a free country. No, we don't like that. It's never about freedom. It's never about prosperity. They don't care. They care about their own prosperity. The prosperity of the individual, but not the individual in any sort, you know, the chosen ones, the ones that go to the right university, the ones that are with, they were born in the right family. They're just really interested in that. They don't really care about the rest. The theory is pretty obvious. You just look at the case of India. India, up until 1992, was the model of a socialist country. Everything was organized in a 5 years plan. They had a huge bureaucracy. They had lots of red tape. And everything was just designed very precisely by the best minds of economic theory, and it was running perfectly in their books, obviously, and India was dirt poor. There was no opportunity, there was no growth, there was no nothing. There was just a huge waste of money, talent, and creativity, and everything. And it was a disaster. It did not go anywhere. Then, 1992, they decide, okay, enough with this socialist crap, we'll just turn to capitalism. We will just cut down red tape, we will just free the spirit of the Indian people and let them do what they like, what they do best, make money, become rich. Now, India is a very rich country. It's got the most numerous middle class in the whole world. It's 350 million people, more than Europe, more than America. They're middle class. They became rich. How? Studying hard, saving, and investing in productive enterprises. And it's so blatant. I really don't understand how people cannot see that capitalism is the only way. You have a living proof, a country that was devastated. It was dirt poor. But they go, when European journalists, when American journalists, they go in India, they never go to the good part of the city. They always go to the slums. They always make you see, there are so many poor people. But they don't make you see that 25 years ago, the situation was incredibly worse. Capitalism has lifted something like 1.5 billion people from poverty in China and India alone. In Brazil, it's working, even if they are one of the worst socialist countries ever. But it's still working, despite all the limitations put by the government. So capitalism is the only way. But in order to make it understand to people, it's unbelievably difficult because you don't have access to them. Because the people in control, they love socialism. They love to be in charge. And it's ridiculous because they say, I want to earn $1 million a year. Yeah, that's a reasonable objective in life. I want to be one of those guys that earns more than $1 million a year. Yeah, you have two ways of doing that. Well, you have three ways, but the third one is actually stealing from someone. You get to the bank, you rob a lot of money, and then you become rich. Yeah, that's something we don't really like, because all society will say, oh, this is wrong, we don't want to do that. Then you have another way, which is you start a small business, you work 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day, Saturdays, not Sundays, because it's the day of the Lord, but you work 6 days a week, you work really hard, you risk a lot, you make it because you're good, because you're a hardworking person, you surround yourself with hardworking person, and you're making, that's the American way, that's the capitalist way, you become rich, and you don't have to be ashamed, you work your butt off, you were a good person, you were a decent person, you became rich, good for you. And then you have the European way. The European way is you go to a good university, you get into public service, and you know people, you scheme, you just go around, and you get to earn $1 million a year of taxpayers' money. And this is the way the Europeans like. Oh, yeah, he's so smart, he's earning more than $1 million a year. And you say, but this is your money. He's getting that money from your pocket. You say, no, he's getting from everyone else's pocket. And you think, yeah, right, because what you are, you're part of the people. You're a taxpayer, right? So he's getting the money from you. If you talk to people in Europe, they will say, yeah, I want to be like him. So they're not looking at the capitalist. They're not looking at the small business owner as their objective, their ideal. Their ideal is the big bureaucrat that goes there, does nothing the whole day. Most of the times it creates problems to regular people, destroys the economy, makes a lot of damage, but gets paid a lot of money. That's the new, the new model that they put to kids. When they are in school, if you go to talk to them and you say, what do you want to become when you get older? When they are, 10 years old, 12 years old, everybody will say, I want to become a judge, I want to become a journalist, I want to become something else. But you will never see one that will say, I want to start my own business, I want to become rich. Because the teachers, they will look at him and say, what is wrong with you? They will send him to counseling classes. What is wrong with you? No, 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 no. We don't say that. Actions have consequences. For 50 years, you've been trying to hammer in the heads of people that capitalism is wrong, that being rich is something that is against the people. And then what do you have? You have the results. This is unfortunate. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Lisa. I'm going to let Mr. Wayne get a chance. And listeners, it looks like we're just going to have 15 more minutes, but really we're going to go over that time. You will not hear us, but this will keep on recording until we finally get off. So please go to the recordings, and you can hear the rest of the conversation after we go off the air. But I just also want to say a little bit about Mr. Wayne Wood, Luca. He was a teacher in a public high school, and he taught a lot of seniors, I think, seniors and juniors. And I remember, Ms. Wayne, you mentioning that you got to be a part of some kind of a national contest where all the, you know, seniors or juniors and seniors in the high schools across the land were in a competition. It was a stock market competition. And guess what, Luca? This man managed to do it for 3 years. They would win in a small town, small high school. They would win. But anyway, go ahead, Mr. Wayne. I know you have a question or comment to Luca.
Well, yeah, I've been listening to what you've been saying and reflecting a lot on what you see is going on in Europe. Hold on a minute. I've got some here. What you've got happening in Europe is what's coming down the slot in America. We're heading in that direction, and I despair. I've got a couple thoughts here I want to put in here. I just got in the middle of doing our annual income taxes, and I retired a couple years ago. And last year I had to pay taxes for my first year of retirement. We ended up with a drastic cut in income, having to write a check for the first time because of the changes in my income and the taxation on that, and figuring out how much money to withhold on my taxes. You know, so both my wife and I increased withholdings this last year. Hopefully we wouldn't have to write a check at the end of the year to pay for taxes we owe at the end of the year. Well, we owe money again this year. So we're talking with our accountant, how much more money do we need to withhold? And we were talking back and forth about it. Well, I don't know, maybe you did okay, maybe this will happen. But then again, the tax laws are changing because a lot of the deductions that we get now are going to expire at the end of the year, and there's not really much hope in Congress doing anything to extend these tax deductions because of the election year and what have you. So we may find we're going to be paying more taxes in America next year, but then again, maybe not. America's in a recession right now, and one of the major reasons why this recession does not end. And right now the media is lying and saying that the economy is doing better. But people on the ground, they see it, they know the economy is not doing better. The major reason we have not come out of this recession is called uncertainty. There are decisions, and I'm speaking from an individual American, and I'm speaking to the audience now. And I think, Luca, what you described in Italy and the rest of Europe is what is happening in America. And it's going to get worse in America. What you see in Europe is America in 5 years, maybe sooner, if we don't get a change in government and a change in direction. I don't know how much money to withhold from my income tax because I really don't know what the income tax code is going to be next year. There are decisions, there are things I might want to buy. I'm not going to buy because I don't know how much money I'm going to be taking home next year. I don't know what my deductions are going to be. I don't know what my income tax rate's going to be. I don't know how much my dollar is going to be worth next year. Because you talked about Europe is printing, trying to print their way out of their economic situation by printing more money. Obama and Ben Bernanke, the chairman of our Federal Reserve, is doing the same thing with our U.S. national debt. They're printing more dollars, creating money out of thin air to try and pay our bills so that all our dollars are worth less. It's one of the reasons why our gas prices are so high. It is a major reason why milk has gone up, bread, basic staples of life are going up because our dollars are worth less. At the same time, imagine being a businessman in this environment, not knowing what new regulations going to come down the slot from the Obama administration, which is a socialist administration and anti-business, not knowing what your taxes are going to be on the profits you do manage to make, afraid to hire anybody. They say our unemployment has dropped down 8.5%. That's official unemployment. It doesn't count the tens of millions of people who have totally given up looking for work. They estimate real unemployment, the actual number of people who could hold jobs but have just given up working, is probably close to 20%. They just don't, they've given up looking for jobs. Businesses are afraid to hire because they don't know how much they're going to have to pay for that guy. Because in addition to the salary, you got to pay for health insurance, unemployment insurance, Social Security. They don't know how much they're going to have to pay next year because Obamacare really kicks in next year. In 2013, all the costs of Obamacare come down the slot. And so businesses are afraid to hire anybody because they don't know what it's going to cost. And the cycle of misery continues. And we're not going to get out of this hole until we have somebody in office who can give us stability, much less get a hold of the national debt and spending. You cannot spend your way to prosperity. You cannot borrow your way to prosperity. The government cannot create wealth. It can only take what is made by others. You talked about rob from the rich and give to the poor. Folks, the Robin Hood myth has been twisted. Robin Hood was really a revolutionary. The rich he was attacking were not rich businessmen or store owners, as the Karl Marx vision, the socialist vision would have you. He wasn't some proletariat or working class hero attacking Joe Schmudlap with the factory down the street. He was attacking the noblemen and the dukes who did nothing but take money from the working people, the businessmen, in the form of taxes. The money he was spent taking from the rich were taxes stolen.
That's right, government stolen.
And he was giving it back to the taxpayers. You have to understand the society that existed at that time. He was giving the money back to the taxpayers. When you talk about government-created work and government-created and subsidies, I give you an example from the Soviet Union. I remember watching a documentary one time on life in the Soviet Union, and this was in the 80s. And pretty much the Cold War is coming to its climax. They showed a truck driver. I'll call him Sergei. A truck driver in Moscow, I'll never forget Sergei. He gets up in the morning at 5 in the morning. He goes down to his motor pool where his truck is. He gets in his truck. He does all of his pre-operations checks. He makes sure it has gasoline. He signs for the truck, and he drives out, and he drives his truck all around Moscow. Doesn't go anywhere. Doesn't pick anything up. Doesn't deliver anything. He's just driving his truck around Moscow. At noon, he stops and takes his lunch break. Gets a 30, 45-minute lunch break. Gets back in his truck, and he drives it around until about 5, 6 o'clock in the evening when he takes his truck back to the motor pool, tops it off, does his post-operation maintenance checks, and signs the truck back in. He asks Sergei what he does for a living. I drive truck. Well, what do you haul to? No web. What do you haul? Nothing. I drive truck. That was the Soviet Union, and it's why the Soviet Union collapsed. They made the worst car in the world in the Soviet Union. For 30 years, I think it was the Volga, I think that's what it was called. It was worse than the Yugo. Nobody ever worried about improving it because there wasn't any point in trying to improve it because you're not going to get a pay raise for improving that car because you're paid by a state salary. Nobody worried about making a better car because who cared? What else are you going to buy? It's the government. It's the government made car. They made that car. It was a clunker for 30 years. And people had to buy it because there was nothing else to buy. Because it was the it kind of reminds me of the Chevy Volt.
Yeah.
Government Motors. This is why the Soviet. You think we would have learned a lesson from the Soviet Union? One more thing on taxation. Italy hasn't learned a lesson that taxation discourages whatever activity is taxed. You know, the Democrats do it all the time. One of their favorite cash cows is the smoking tax. They like to tax smokers. And I'm not a big fan of tobacco. But every time they have a pet project, they want to tax tobacco. California went out and wanted a new child health thing. They were going to pay for it on the backs of smokers who were doing something damaging anyway. So they just increased the cigarette tax to astronomical levels. Now guess what they're finding out? There's not many people smoking in California anymore. They don't have enough money to pay for the new program. So now guess where that money's going to have to come from? I might remind you that California is bankrupt already. Now they have a new program to pay for. Because shazam, when they tax smoking, people stop smoking.
Mr. Wine.
You tax people for starting businesses, they're going to stop starting businesses.
Well, it's like a never-ending cycle, a vicious cycle of foolish people making foolish laws. And I just saw Paul Ryan trying to do a budget earlier today. I think they were talking about it. One Democrat was so mad. There's no stimulus jobs bill. Of course, never mind that we don't have money. It's another tax she's wanting to add on. But, you know, she was up at arms mad about that because he doesn't have that jobs bill. But, Luke, I want to... You know, Mr. Wayne said something about uncertainty, and I was looking a little bit about Australia. And I guess it's the same thing over there. It's that uncertainty that, it, you know, people are wringing their hands.
Well, in Australia, the situation is even worse because you have a socialist government, and they're trying to pretty much kill the only productive industry left in the country, which is the mining industry. And they are saying, oh, yeah, we don't have the money to do this and this really, really good thing, this really good program, and this carbon tax. Of course, they are so much in love with the carbon tax and everything, even if the scientific basis for all this anthropogenic global warming thing is complete baloney. Now, it's pretty much been proven that there is no such thing as anthropogenic, you know, global warming. It's been proven. It was all a lie. So the data is not there. So all these green taxes, this green stuff, these incentives, which is pretty much money taken from the people's pocket and given to Solyndra, given to green energy companies, you know, they are friends of Obama's and all the other governments. They're saying, yeah, well, we'll put an extra tax on the mining industry. And the Australian people is about to just go ballistic because they're saying, nobody's hiring in this country except for the mining industry. So the mining industry is pretty much the engine of growth in Australia. If you attack that with punitive tax rates and punitive taxes, they're going to not employ people anymore. Or right now, they started already because the Australian economy is slowing down. And
we're doing it to oil.
Expect?
We're doing it to oil in America.
Yeah, oil in America.
We're doing it to oil in America. Oil is the only industry that's prospering and hiring folks, and they're wanting to tax them.
Yeah,
well, no, it's totally killed the economy.
Yeah, it's reasonable. Yeah, of course they want it. They want to do. They want to attack the productive part of the economy because if your purpose is to install a socialist government, actually a communist government, because they want control of all the means of production. You have to kill the industries that are going well by themselves. And then they attack the oil industry, the energy industry, not the green energy one, because the green energy, they like that. Because the green energy gives a lot of money to the Democratic National Committee. Instead, the oil industry, aside from BP, because BP was a big Obama funder, and look what they got in the Gulf of Mexico and the whole crap. Yeah, but they were big Obama funders. That's why they didn't really go after them with, you know, guns blazing. They went to them, in a nice way, because, oh, this guy gave me money. And the big oil companies, aside from BP, they tend to stand with the Republicans. And so this is Chicago politics again.
Yeah, it is.
This is a friend of my friend. I'm going to attack him. I'm going to put big tax on him. Yeah, now you get it. And they're a big bet. Yeah, this is how we play in Chicago. Yeah, if you're giving money to them, we're going to attack you. We're going to shut you down. There you go. But obviously, you don't hire people. Just look at the pipeline project. It would have brought tens of thousands of jobs, good long-term paying jobs for Americans. And they kind of shut it down. And they say, no, we don't like that. And the wild reserve in Alaska, lots of oil there. No, we don't want it. No, because animals, they're so cool. And then obviously, if the oil company become rich and they are pretty much well off, they will not go looking for government subsidies, because they say, no, we're pretty okay as we are. Thank you very much. And they will not give money to the lobbyists. They will not give money to the parties, because they think, I'm pretty well off right now. I don't need to, you know, grease some cogs and spend money here and there. They don't like that. They don't like free market, because in the free market, the consumer decides who gets rich and who doesn't. In a free market, if you have some goods to offer, you go to the market, you present them to the consumer decides. The Chevy Volt would have never been bought by an American customer, because they would look at the price tag and think, right, no, thank you. Because for that price, I can get a Cadillac. I can get a pretty, an Escalade. Because without government subsidy, a Chevy Volt would probably cost as much as an Escalade. And you put them together, you would just look at them and say, well, the Chevy Volt is much smaller, it's not exactly good looking and everything. Well, look at the Escalade, it's big, beautiful, and I'll go for that, thank you very much. And, and they don't want that. Because in a free market, the consumer is king. But if you put government subsidies, then the market is not free anymore, because you're, skewing the balance of the economy. So you are promoting something and discouraging something else. Right now, the Obama government, like pretty much all the governments in Europe, they are discouraging people from hiring, which is pretty much the opposite of what would be necessary right now. But they have to do it, because if they didn't create new laws every 5 minutes, a business owner can say, well, I don't really need to just donate money to this guy's campaign or this other guy's campaign, because, the laws are like that, I'm pretty safe, and so I'll just mind my own business, and I will not give them money. And they don't like that, because there is a lot of people that live from campaigning and from lobbying and from, lawyers and other stuff. All the people that pretty much live inside the Beltway in Washington, they pretty much live on money that should go to create new jobs. Because in a perfect world where the laws are there and they're fixed and there is no new regulations every 5 seconds, you don't need hundreds of thousands of people working in Washington trying to convince lawmakers not to screw up things. That is the point. That money could go and should go to create new jobs. But if you try to speak to regular people, they don't really understand that, because they like the government to subsidize something. If you are a farm owner, they really like government subsidies. And they don't really think of them as bad, because, I'll get money for free. Great. In Europe, there is this thing, the Common Agricultural Policy, which pretty much comprises something like 30 and 40% of the whole European Union budget. They are paying money to people not to grow things on their land, because otherwise the price will go down. And you just look at them and you say,
okay. Hello?
Hello? Luca?
I'm sorry. Luca, you still on? Oh, we may have lost Luca. I don't know. But I was going to ask
him just
him
a minute ago, Diana.
Yeah, we may have lost him, but I was going to ask him what some other countries that maybe have tea parties also, because now they, you
right.
know, he's a
I want
to
hear some more about
the
World Tea Party.
Well, maybe he'll call back in just a moment, Luca. If you don't hear us, if you can call right back, we're still on. So, yeah, I see where he has dropped, so maybe he'll call back. But Mr. Wayne and Ms. Barbara, you know, he's really giving us a lot of food for thought. And I'm thinking it's like a deck of cards. I mean, the Obamacare, I think, is what's waking up people, though. It's waking up a lot of Americans.
I think they played their hand too soon. What you're seeing right now, and I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but I was listening to someone this morning, and it kind of got me to thinking. I can't remember what it was I was in the middle of. But it's talked about a three-phase thing, and we saw Hitler do this in the 20s and the 30s, where you had, in Weimar Germany, you had a time of economic depression that would make this, what we're going through now, look like a picnic. And then in the middle of all this, there was this unrest. And you had your Nazi thugs beating in the heads of communist thugs, and there was actual civil war in the streets through all these gangs. And, you know, the Nazis had the brown shirts, the Sturmabteilung, or the SA, stormtroopers. And your communists, I believe they had red shirts, and they were in the middle, you know, the Red Brigade type of thing and what have you. They were fighting back and forth in the streets. Well, along comes, and Hitler's people were really agitating all this. And so on the right of all this, promising to solve all the problems and to bring economic unrest, and to get the economy turned around, and of course finding people to blame for all this trouble. You got to find somebody to scapegoat for the nation's troubles, to find an enemy to demonize. And of course for Hitler was the Jews and the communists. And so he rides into power in a coalition government. Then you have to have a catastrophe. And in Germany, it was the Reichstag fire, the German parliamentary building caught fire. And using that as an excuse for a national emergency, Hitler got the German parliament to pass martial law, suspending the Constitution. Okay. And then shortly after that, the president, Hindenburg, died. Hitler became the president and did away with the office of president and vice president or chancellor and named himself Führer, ruling under martial law. And then what he did in phase three, you got the countries in just a total turmoil upheaval. He promises to bring peace to the people, and he does a purge of his own party and wipes out the brown shirts, the stormtroopers, in one night called the Night of the Long Knives. And maybe Glenn Beck was talking about we're in phase two right now. Phase one is you have the economic turmoil, and it's worldwide. Phase two is the unrest. And in America, we have the Occupy Wall Street, and even the Tea Party. We're trying to get us back off the precipice. The point now, if you believe in conspiracy theories, and I don't know, I'm kind of prone, is to come to a point to where you have someone get in power, a group of people get in power, who promises to stabilize and bring peace. And they'll do it by wiping out and like a martial law type of thing. And in doing that, they seize total control. I hope I'm making sense here.
Wayne?
Yes.
Is Barbara? I do believe in conspiracies because I read history, and history is full of conspiracies.
Yeah.
All through the Bible, we see conspiracies to the beginning of mankind. And but we can also see it in our daily lives. We can remember, bullies getting together. Children of weak character grouping together. Not necessarily weak minds, but weak character, binding together to bully someone else and get something from them. And I mean, it's in every neighborhood and school, and it is life. There is evil, and evil people do get together
and
make plans for
own
profit.
I always want to be careful, though, because,
I know. They label
you don't want to be
anyone
paranoid.
Who believes in a conspiracy a nut. But let's look at the truth
careful.
Of it. Let's look at the truth
I do
of
see it.
It is
I
true
it.
That there are conspiracies throughout all of history, and we would be fools to believe that there are not.
I just don't think this is an accident. I mean, you know what I always say is... All because you're paranoid schizophrenic doesn't mean the little green guys aren't out to get you. The thing is, it is hard for me to believe that Barack Obama is that inept. It is hard for me to believe this guy manipulated
purpose.
His way up. It is hard for me to believe he's incompetent and that stupid. I will not... he's stupid. No, he's not. People said, Bill Clinton, he's stupid. All because I don't agree with the guy doesn't mean he's stupid. Bill Clinton probably had one of the highest IQs of anybody that ever sat in the White House. Didn't make him a good person.
Mr. Wayne, I'm so sorry. I know, Ms. Barbara, you probably have to get off. Ms. Barbara, because I know you're busy at this time. Take care of
somebody. Yes.
I would want to ask you to close us in prayer before we go, but I just want to also add to, when people say, it's just the economy, stupid, I think, wait a second, it's like the cronyism that Lucas talking about, the danger with that, and the same thing with what y'all meant, have been talking about. If our leaders are not honorable men that fear God, we can't have a good economy. It's just a dream that we're looking for. It's not going to last. So with that in mind, Ms. Walker? Oh, Mr. Wayne, I see so many postings on Facebook about that, the social issues does not matter. It is at the very heart of why we're in a mess. The Barney Franks of the world is what got us into this. They have no morals. So, Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, let's hold up the nation that many are blinded as to what matters.
I would love to, but And could we ask Luca? I hear his voice again. Could we ask him before we?
I don't see him, Ms. Barbara. Let me look again. Let me look one more time. I'm going to look and see if I can find. No, I don't see Ms. Barbara. He said he could not get on.
Okay, well, I thought I heard his voice. I'm hearing things.
After we get off the live stream,
I would be delighted to close us in prayer and. It was really good hearing from him today. I appreciate him so much. And
amen.
God is using him mightily. I'm so grateful. Well, it's been good. Well, let's pray together. Father God, we are so thankful for our time together today with you, O Lord. Thank you for directing and guiding our conversation and Father, quickening us, Lord, with your life. We thank you, Father. We ask, Father, that we could just take all of the things that we've talked about, Father, and just roll them up and just lift them up to you, O God. And we ask for your will to be done in our lives and in our nations, O God. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, O God. We can see that things are happening, that there is resistance to tyranny rising up, not only in this country, but throughout the world. There is a rising up, Father, and I can hear the sound in the mulberry trees as you talk about in your word. When you hear the sound of the going in the mulberry trees, you are about to do something. That you are about to do something mighty, O God. That you are at work, and we hear that sound. We know that you're at work, and we're so grateful for it, Father, because our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. It is not in mankind, Father. We are weak and frail in so many ways, and yet, Father, when we're with you, Lord, you give us courage. You are the God of all encouragement. You do give us courage, and you do give us one another to strengthen one another, Father, and to remind one another of the blessings that you give when we do things your way, the blessings of freedom and the wonderful, Father, the dignity of all mankind, and how important and valuable each person is, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing here in this country and abroad. We thank you for Luca Bochy, that you have been raising him up for this time, for this hour, for such a time as this, and that you are using him mightily. Father, when we do continue to ask, as Brother Wayne prayed, that you will enlarge his territory, that you will set out his tent pegs in a bigger measure, Lord, that more and more people, Father, will hear him, hear the truths that he speaks. For, Father, they are your truths and your desires, and we're so grateful. We love you so much. We ask your blessing upon all those who listen to the program and all those that they're going to be sharing with. And, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that you've given us this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Wayne, Ms. Barbara, and listeners. We're grateful. And I just pray that you'd remember the blessings that come from godly men who seek God's wisdom, the George Washington, the Benjamin Franklin, and the Ronald Reagan. He did not have that economic mind, but look at what he brought forth. It blessed all of us. So may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Listen to tomorrow. We're going to have Don Waldman with us. And who knows, Luca may join us again tomorrow. I gave him an invitation since we cut him off today. So we're so grateful for everyone. And please continue to pray that God may have mercy on America. Goodbye.